Good morning. Welcome to our Sunday service. Can you believe it's August already? It's been an unusual year, hasn't it? We started with the feeling that this year, 2020, was a year of vision, a year of clarity, a feeling that the Lord was saying to get our focus set on Him and get deeper into His Word, as He'll be moving us into a new season and something new. There's been a huge increase in our hunger and our thirst to walk in the promises of God and see His signs and wonders manifest. Even this week, we've seen someone in our church ask for prayer and be healed. There seems to be a growing expectancy. Psalm 84 seems to sum this up very nicely. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. It kind of sums up, doesn't it, how we're really feeling at the moment. We just want more. And this lockdown has given many of us a chance to reflect and reassess priorities and lifestyles. Some of us have had more time than others to get that 2020 vision and see what the Lord is saying for our next season. As I was writing this, I really felt the Lord say to me, "Look forward and run with me." And I feel that's what He's saying to all of us. Look forward and run with me. Look at it this way. When you're driving a car at 70 miles an hour, even 30 miles an hour, you have to look forward. There's a mirror if you need to glance back and see what's behind you. See how far you've come. But if you turn around and look while you're driving, we're quickly going to run into trouble and hurt not just ourselves but those around us. Jesus thought it was so important that we don't keep looking back, but realize we're a new creation in Him, that He even changed people's names. He changed Simon's name to Peter. Simon meant listen, and Peter means rock. Now, I don't know what Simon's past involved, but Jesus wanted him to know that God's plan and purpose for him was so great that it didn't even feel right to keep the same name. Jesus needed Simon to know this was a new beginning for him. The Father did the same thing with Abram. He said, "You will no longer be called Abram, you will be called Abraham," meaning father of many. God even changed Sarai's name to Sarah, meaning princess. Because she was so special in His eyes, God didn't want her to live in the past and be defined by her past hurts. She was now getting on in age and she hadn't had any children. That was looked down upon, mocked, even called names. But God wanted to break all of that off so that she could move forward. God wanted Sarai to let go of the past and all of those hurts to know He was going to do a new thing. To know her past could be left behind if she kept her eyes on Him and looked forward. She was a princess in His eyes, and He had great plans for her life. She would be a mother of many because she belonged to Him. She was no longer Sarai. She was a new creation named Sarah. We're not defined by what we did, or what happened to us, or what was said about us or to us. If someone spoke something over you, you have the authority to break it off in the name of Jesus. Simon, Abram, and Sarai were renamed to make it very clear they were no longer to look over their shoulders at the past. They were now all new creations, born again with a new beginning, chains broken off. 2 Corinthians 5 says, "He, Jesus, died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone and the new is here." Nothing that has happened in the past has to be held on to. You can be free from the past. Can you imagine if Peter started to allow himself to be defined by his past? Maybe that's why Jesus changed his name and not everybody else's. Because Peter needed an everyday reminder that he was a new creation. No longer to look back on the man he once was. He now had a new purpose, a new beginning. He was now following Jesus and walking in his divine purpose. Christ had made him into something solid with good foundations so he could build the church. When their names were changed, I believe there were a couple of reasons. One, to show them that whatever they did, or whatever happened to them, or whatever was said to them, like in Sarai's case, did not define them. Second, to show them that the Lord wants them to let go of the past and look forward to a new, exciting future with him and not be held in a place of hurt. Jesus doesn't reject us because of our past. On the contrary, God will use the strengths and the good things that we've learnt along our journey, and he'll use it for good. God has chosen us and has amazing things to show us. So let's not dismiss ourselves. Let's not get weary or fearful and give up before we reach our purpose. Remember, the bigger the purpose and the destiny, the bigger the hurdles and the difficulties that will be thrown at us along the way. Look at Joseph. He had lots of brothers. He was his father's favourite. His father had even given him a special coat of many colours. Joseph had a dream that his brothers would one day bow down to him, and he told them. It probably wasn't the wisest of moves to tell them, because they were already jealous of him. So, when he comes out into the field, they decide to kill him. But just at that moment, along comes a caravan train and they sell him into slavery instead. He gets taken to Egypt and sold to Potiphar, who was a captain of the guard under Pharaoh. Potiphar soon notices that God is with Joseph and blesses everything he does, and so he makes him his attendant. And things go smoothly for a while until Potiphar's wife accuses Joseph of trying to seduce her. So this time Joseph gets thrown into jail for a number of years. But even in jail, God was with him, and Joseph had favour with the jail keeper, who put Joseph in charge of the prisoners. Now while he's in jail, he interprets dreams for a baker and a cupbearer of Pharaoh. The cupbearer is grateful to Joseph, and Joseph asks him to remember him when he's released back into the presence of the Pharaoh. Because he said, I'm innocent, I shouldn't be in this dungeon. But the cupbearer soon forgets Joseph on his release, until one day the Pharaoh has a dream that also needs interpreting. So Joseph is called to interpret Pharaoh's dream, and Pharaoh is so aware that the Spirit of God is with Joseph that he places him as his second in command, over his palace, over his people. Now to get to that point, all those years and all those things that had happened to Joseph, he must have been tempted so many times to give up. And the enemy would have been on his shoulder, in his ears, saying, see, God doesn't care, or he wouldn't have let this happen to you. See, you weren't really ever meant for greatness. He could easily have given up, become too weary to fight, doubt himself and his dream, turn his back on God, maybe even blame God for all the bad things that had happened to him. But Joseph stayed faithful, and God was always with him, always making sure that things didn't go too far. Just think, the brothers were going to kill him, but just at that moment along comes a caravan and bought him as a slave. Now that caravan didn't just turn up. It would have taken days to get to that point. God had set them off well in advance to arrive at just that spot at just that right moment. If Joseph had given up, he would never have seen his dream come true and the goodness of God fulfilled in his life. And thousands of people may not have been kept alive through the famine because God's hand was on him and he was meant to be there. And his brothers eventually do come to Egypt and they try to buy food during the famine. And guess what? They had to bow down before him. And as they do, Joseph remembers his dream. Joseph had a choice at that moment to either forgive his brothers and give them the food they needed to survive and be reunited with them, or to punish them. He was in a position where he could do just that. But he chose to forgive. Forgive the past, not look over his shoulder, but to move forward in a new life and a new beginning with his family. God's purpose for Joseph was always greatness, but it wasn't an easy journey, and there were always choices along the way to hold on to the pain, the hurt, the betrayal. He could easily have justified himself in being consumed by bitterness. He'd been betrayed by his brothers, nearly killed by them, sold into slavery by them, thrown into jail even though he was innocent. Left in jail for a further 2 years because the cupbearer forgets about him. But not once do we hear of any bitterness. We hear that he stayed faithful to God and God blessed him wherever he was. He didn't stop the bad things happening, but each time and in every situation, God was with him and God blessed him. And because Joseph kept his eyes on God, and not looking back over his shoulder and hanging on to the past, he was able to keep moving forward towards his destiny and the purpose that God had for him. And in forgiving his brothers, he actually got his family back. And God fulfilled his promise that Joseph had seen in the dream. There may be people listening to this that are feeling weary, fed up of the struggle, and close to giving up. It's no coincidence that you're listening. I feel the Lord wants to remind you to hang on. This is not the end of your journey. Just like Joseph, there is a plan and a purpose for your life. And if it doesn't look possible in the natural, that's okay, because God works in the supernatural. So hang on in there. Let's keep our eyes firmly fixed on where we're going with the Lord and not looking back. If you need to, forgive yourself. Maybe you need to forgive others. He forgave us. Isaiah 43:19 says, "See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." I believe we're in a new season, and God is about to do something new. So let's look forward and let's get ready to run with the Lord. Bless you and have a lovely week.